You know, this year, you might be saying, maybe you've said it to yourself already. You know, New Year's are really interesting because it's like a pivotal point in one's life, or it's a pivotal point in a city or in a nation or in the world. There's just an atmosphere that a new year represents or presents. And it's like there's a newness, there's a freshness. But you know something, you might have been thinking like, oh God, maybe you've said this, oh God, I want something new and exciting in my life this year. Oh God, I can you do this for me? Can you change something in my life this year so I can overcome what I failed to do last year? I wish I could answer the question, and I wish God could answer that question for you. But really, the questions that you ask God, the things that you want Him to do, a lot of that requires you to do something. And it's not a whole lot, but it is something for each of us. There is something for each of us to do. And I think what God basically, last year I started the new year with, you know, commitment. If we're expecting God to do great things and great things to come out of this church, and we are the church, it's not the building, it's not necessarily the Crossway name, it's the ministry that God has set up through the name of the Crossway. And it's a ministry that God has placed in our possession to do and fulfill in this place that He's called us to, with the people that we have here in this city. God's not going to fail. Sometimes we think we're going to fail, but at the very end, when we're just about ready to give up, God says, I ain't done with you yet. Stand up and be counted. So what we have to do is to realize that there are things, if we want things that we want from God to happen, we have to get rid of the old, don't we? Last year is, how many last from that are sitting here, how many right now, looking in the past last year, have had at least one major failure? Raise your hand. Every single one of us have got some place where we have failed. Probably more, but that's okay, as long as we all have one. We're in the same boat. But there are things that caused those things to take place in our lives that caused us to fail. Whether it was actually listening to God's word and just listening to God's word and just listening to God's word and just listening to God's word, marking your Bible, and just listening to God's word and just listening to God's word and we get up and say, what a wonderful service we had. What a powerful sermon. And we go home and we start to face the same things all over again. Failure. That's where failure starts. All over again. I don't want failure in my life of the things that caused me to fail last year. I have to do something about it. I have to be the one to get rid of something that was in me from last year, if you want to put years on it, or a season, that caused me to fail. I cannot depend on my wife to do it. She has no responsibility over my life to get rid of things, although she can let me know, and she's done that too, and vice versa, but not as many times. We all have things we need to get rid of, and the reason why we have to get rid of them, are you hearing what, not necessarily I'm saying, but what the Spirit of God is saying? You have to get rid of the things, the old things from the past, to allow God to give you the new things now and for this coming year, for the future, that will change your life dramatically. Do you want that? I want it. I want things that are going to cause me to become a success in areas that were failure last year. You know, we're all here, and we're all living in this little blue ball, but you know, we don't live here very long. The Word of God, it shows us in such a simple way, our life in the immensity of what the eternity of God, where He lives in that expanse, the God who lives and inhabits eternity, we're just like a vapor. Have you ever seen, like when you're boiling something on the stove, And you see the water bubbling, and you see the white vapor just, well, that's your life. That's my life. Just boiling away, vaporizing, but God sees it all. And in those times that the vapor is coming up, God is allowing us, we are living on this earth today, we are living in the generation that God has called us to live. Are we just going to let our lives vaporize without doing and causing any effect on the things that God says, I want to use you for this. I want you to do this. I have this for you to do. Instead of us just repeating our mistakes and saying, God, I'm a failure. God, I'm a failure. God, I'm a failure. God, I'm an idiot. God, I'm a failure. God, the past is just no good. You hear what's being said? All of us are here, and all of us are living on this little blue ball, and our time here compared to eternity is just like a vapor. It's here, and it's gone. All of us are in a state of change. I am in a state of change. You are in a state of change. We're not just talking about the outside change. We're talking about an inside change. That's the most important. Some of you don't like to look at what you have been this past year. In some ways, I don't like to look at what I was in some areas this past year. But all of us are in a state of change. And the thing that God wants us to realize and God wants us to work at is not allowing the bad habits, the bad ways, the stinking thinking, the causing and saying things about yourself that you are worthless in this area. Or maybe it's not just about yourself saying those things. It's saying and doing those things toward other people. Very important that we see this morning. So this year, don't cause the things, your bad habits, the bad thoughts, just the way it all was last year. Don't cause that to stop you from becoming the person that God is intending you to be this year. You see, we look at ourselves a lot of times as we failed, so God's going to throw us away. We have a use-by date. That's not in God's economy. We are eternal spiritual beings, and that's a plus. And again, that's why Jesus placed so much value, God placed so much value on sending Christ to this little blue ball. You know, it sort of scares me sometimes when I look at photos from the Hubble or from these other satellites that are flying around that man has put out there, and I see the return look when they look back on the earth of just this blue speck. I think, oh my God, we all lived there. And when that picture was taken, I was alive. You were alive. What were you doing? But God is constantly, you know, it says the earth is his footstool. It's not that he's got stinky feet and he wants to put, you know, just place his feet to bang on top of the footstool. But there's a place that God has. The reason why he put this earth here, it's bringing him glory. Even though we may not be able to see ourselves from space in those photos, God knows our hearts and he has placed so much value that he sent his only begotten son, that not one person, if they accept him, would perish, but have everlasting life. That says a lot about God. It says a lot about what God wants to do while we're on this little blue ball with a life that is very short, but very powerful. Do you ever think of Jesus' short life? He was 33 years old when he died, gave up his life on the cross, and was resurrected. That's not a whole lot of a long time on earth. He had hardly any time to vaporize. But he accomplished so much that the Gospel of John says that if everything was written about what Jesus did, the world would not be able to contain the volumes of what was said and done by him. That was 3.5 years of public ministry and other things that his mom picked up and his kinfolk picked up in the place where he was reared up while he was before he came on the main scene of humanity to do his earthly ministry. So God, I believe, he wants us to look at this new year by doing what his word says. I was going to start with another verse of scripture, but I'm going to have us take a look. I'm going to sort of screw things around a little bit here, but if I could have a take a look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Therefore, and this is Jesus speaking, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. 1989, we had the opportunity and the privilege and the blessing of God to buy a parcel of land and to build our home. And on the parcel of land that we've got, there's a 15-degree decline on the land itself. So to build a normal concrete slab to put a house on for a foundation wasn't the best unless you had a lot of money. And we didn't have a lot of money. So what we decided to do through the builder was to make a pole platform house. And to build a pole platform house, you see, that in itself was a bit more wisdom because the fellow that owned the property before had the plans already, and it was going to cost him another 10 grand minimum to build and put more concrete into the foundation of the house. He decided the cost was too much. So the house went on for sale. The lot went on for sale, and that's when we bought it. So we had to have some kind of wisdom done to build the type of house that would fit the territory and also make it feasible for us to build and to make that house last. So every pole that we set in when the hole was dug, some of them went down a couple of meters, some of them went down even less than a meter, but some of them went down on an average about a meter plus all the way around. And the poles went in, they were stabilized to keep them straight. The concrete was poured, but before the concrete was poured and before the pole went in, we had to make sure that we went right down to the bedrock, the foundation rock, so that when we start putting the poles in and we started to build the house, all the structure of the house and the weight of everything that went on top of the joist and the bearers would maintain and would not crack or move or shift. And today we've got a house that, looking around, you know, I've done some extra painting and things around, and I've looked at the house, and there's hardly any shifting that has ever taken place in the house. There's been a little bit, not much though, that could not be done by just a simple repair. And I could do it myself. But it was because the house was built on a foundation, on rock. Solid rock. That's the way we do it. Going down as deep as we have to do that. That was wisdom. In the natural, that's wisdom, what was done to build the house. Jesus is saying here, if we can have those scriptures back up, he says, but anyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not know, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, these are the words of Jesus, and does them, I will liken him to a, what kind of a man? A wise man. But what is Jesus really talking about here? He uses such a beautiful analogy of building a house, building a home, putting a building up. How to do it the wise way. There's a wise man. Do we do things that are causing us to look and do things on the wise side? Where do we get the wisdom from? Jesus said, keep those, if you can just keep those words up, whoever hears these sayings of mine, whoever hears these words of mine and does them. You see, when we're sitting every Sunday, and this happens, I used to sit in church too, as a boy, and as a teenager, and as a young adult, and then went to Bible school and went to another church, a big one, and listened and sat in church and listened and listened and listened. But I was always taking notes and thinking, man, this stuff is powerful. These words are very powerful. You can smile, you can laugh, but I'll tell you something, there have been words that have gone out that you've heard, and you've not done anything but listen to them. I've not done anything but listen to them. I've not applied them. You've not applied them. This is what Jesus is saying. To be wise, it's not just hearing the Word of God and highlighting your Bible so it really looks spickle and say, boy, people say, oh, you already read your Bible. Look at it. It's all scuffed up and marked and all kinds of stars and this and that, all kinds of different color, you know, highlights. What a wonderful person you are. I want to see something in people's lives. I want to see something in my life that's more than just highlighting a Bible and taking the Word of God, listening to what God is saying in the Word, but then learning through the guidance of the Holy Spirit to apply those things, to do them, to manifest that God could manifest Himself through me to something that He wants me to do in building a foundation in my life. You see, my life, if my life goes, there are certain things, it's just like my house. If one of the poles go, and they almost went one time, if I can just share this with you too, on the very end, the highest part facing the back part of our house, if you stood at the front, three poles, three poles, three poles, three poles. In the very back, it's almost 20 feet off the ground. That last pole was very narrow at the top. And I remember when Art built it and myself, we built it, we put the studs, we connected them with these massive screws and bolts. And there's a reason why I'm saying this, is that one pole, I always, when I used to go back there before we put the addition on, I used to always go back there and think, I don't like that. It doesn't look like it's going to last too long. Because the top part, maybe on this wide, this tall, but it's only this wide, holding massive bearers on it that were this wide on either side. You get what I'm saying? And the pole was thin. And I remember one time that we called the builder, and I, this is several years before, I had to go one of those trips to Vanuatu, and I asked the builder if he could go and take a look at it, because what we were hearing, we had a waterbed, by the way, the 9-inch bladder waterbed. That's a lot of weight, and it was on that side. When the wind would kick up, I can hear just a little bit of a squeak here and there. And I can hear like a bit of a, just a squeaky noise that I did not like. And I'm getting to a point is that if that pole went, the house would have been a great, pretty great ruin. So you can imagine if any of the poles on the bottom, if they were not put against the rock, down solid, it would cause a ruination of the entire structure of the whole house. How important it is. It's to hear the words of God. If you can keep those up, those words, if you can keep in memory of what we're saying this morning, that it's listening to the words of God that are so important, but it's asking the Holy Spirit what to do and how to do the words that you hear, how to apply those words to your life. It's so important. So we see the wise man. If you go up to the next couple of verses where it talks about the next person who's not too wise. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and my words and does not do them. So you hear, oh, we heard a wonderful sermon. Oh, I heard a wonderful sermon. Boy, those words are powerful. Any of the tele TV evangelists that you hear too. You know, sometimes you can hear some powerful sermons, but unless you apply what they're saying and ask God to show you what they're, how to apply those words, yet you haven't gone anywhere. Haven't done anything. Anyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish, what kind of a man? A foolish man who built his house on the sand. There's no wisdom in that. I can remember one time, you know, there's always the rogue, it talks about the storms that come. There's always a rogue wave amongst many waves. Who here has done some surfing and swimming? I don't here, because I don't like to surf here. But there are a number of waves that can come in. But then there is a rogue wave that's bigger than you are expecting. And when it comes in, it can do some damage if you're not ready, if you're surfing, or if you're at the beach just playing near the edge of the water. I can remember one of the first times we came up here, and I shared this with you before. I had my little son and my little daughter, and we went to the beach near Stewart Park. And, you know, this American person who's not used to the waves at all. I'm used to, like, Lake Ontario, little wavelets, not waves that you got here. So I dig a little hole, and I put my daughter and son in, and the waves are coming up, and how gentle they were. And I, you know, and they were out, and I was wondering why people were not, like, that were playing and digging in the sand were not quite that far out. And all of a sudden, a rogue wave came in and just went right over my kids. Not wise at all, because I did not know. You may be laughing at that. Listen, you may be laughing at that. But what you need to do is look at yourself. Where are you placing yourself without listening to the words of God? You can hear the words of God, yes, but are you applying wisdom? The only way you can apply wisdom to your life is applying the words of God, for they're filled with wisdom. He'll show you what to do. He'll show you how to do it. He'll show you where to do it. And he'll show you who to do it with. There's a big difference. The rogue waves, friends, are out there for you and myself this year. The little wavelets, the waves, the smaller ones will always be coming in, and we can get used to it. Isn't this a lovely day? Driving my car, living in my new house, doing this, having a barbecue with my friends, and all these wonderful things, but we're never always keeping our eyes out for the rogue wave. Are you ready? Will you be ready? How has your life been built? Where has it been built? What has it been built on? Is it built on just the ground? Because when that rogue wave comes in, it says the foolish man built on the ground. You will be damaged. Damage will come your way if you don't build on the rock. If you build on the ground, you don't expect anything but damage and ruin and a lot of heartache and hardship. Listen to Jesus' words. Do something with Jesus' words. Ask the Holy Spirit to apply the words that he spoke to your life and ask God to give you wisdom. Well, how do I do this? Where do I do it? And where do I apply this in my life for the words that you're telling me, for the situations that I'm facing? God will do it for you. And when that rogue wave comes in, no matter how bad it is, you'll be able to stand. And your house will not go in ruin. Do you ever see people in the world that do not know Jesus Christ? They're not born again. And I've seen it with people who were born again because they were just listening to the word and not building. But people in the world, they're saying, they're always blaming things on God when it happens. But they never heard the things about God. Nor did they apply God's word to their hearts. So what do they expect? There's also the God of this world who wants to destroy you. It says that the waves came and that the storm came and it burst. Did you ever see a tsunami? Did you ever see those pictures of the tsunamis when they come through from miles and miles out in the ocean? And all of it, nothing stops them. The boats look like little twigs going over them. And sometimes they're capped, they're just capped over. And it just, all the stuff that happens, because there's so much power. The devil is out to destroy anyone who names the name of Jesus and who looks anything like God. He's our arch enemy. That's why Jesus came. To build on him, to be redeemed from the ways that Satan has set up to destroy your life, your children's lives, your lives, your wife and her life. If you're a husband this morning, you cover your wife. If you don't know how to cover your wife, ask God how to cover your wife. In the world today, if I can just say this, in the world today, there's a competition between women can do it just as much and just as good as men. Well, if they want to pump muscle up and they want to use weights to start looking like all these, you know, different things that they want to do, that's fine if they want to do that. But there's a gender difference, and God put it that way. Men, you got to take care of your wives. Overlook them. Overshadow them. Your rights over and over again, and I'm just saying this outwardly, so even those who are not married yet will remember this prayerfully. Your rights in the house and your rights of comfort and your rights of what you really should be expecting to be done for you. There are many times you've got to give those rights up for the sanity and the comfort of your wife. For the sanity and the comfort of your children. It takes a man to do that. It takes a real man to do that. I'm not talking about a man who's faultless, because none of us are faultless. But it takes a real man to stand up and do stuff like that as required. But it comes from hearing the word of God, hearing the words of Jesus, and passing things along to your children. And then you're seeing your children pass those words on and those principles and sayings on to their children, which are your grandchildren, and then to the next generation coming after. See, the ruin comes when we fail to do those things to build on the rock, because once one of us is removed or damaged, there are things resting on our lives that go with us. And that's scary. That's scary. If there are things, I'm just pointing to you, if there are things in your life that you don't have right and you've just been listening to the Word of God, Cheryl, and you don't apply the Word of God to your life, apply it and make it happen and make God manifest His ways in your life so that you're affected, but your children are affected, your husband's affected, and your grandchildren are affected. If you don't do that, and a wave comes along during this year even, and there's damage done to you, your kids go down with you. Your grandkids can go down with you. That's how much is at stake. It's for all of us. And Mecca, and at school, you've got fellas, whether you realize it or not, I've been there. You've got fellows who are looking at you all different kinds of ways. But you've got people who are looking at the change, because I've seen the change. And God has seen the change. And other people have seen the change in you. We've seen, and God has seen the change that's taken place in your life. You are actually becoming a light and a pillar to those, and also allowing them to see that I can change. Because he changed. Why did he change so much? Why is he not the same like he used to be? It's because God is doing something in you. Somewhere, somehow, the words that have been being preached and you've been hearing them, whether it's in Sunday school or youth or in this place right here, God has been doing something in your life where you are able to make a conscious decision to build on what the Word of God said, not just hear it, but what he said to do. And it's making a change in life. True? Amen. It's making a change in my life. And I've been walking with the Lord a long time. It'll make a change in this ministry. Praise God. Let's just take a look at a couple of things here. Ephesians chapter 4. Changing into the person that God wants us to become. But you have not so learned. Keep on going. Yep. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. So remember that. That you put off, and this is what we have to do for this new year, that we put off, you put off concerning your former conduct. There is no sense in me preaching and saying, Sue Ellen, you better change. Aiden, you better change. He get his stick and start swiping at me if I say it too long. Only you can change. Only you are able to change yourself. Only you are able to do what God says that needs to be done. Only you can change your conduct. If I try to force you to change your conduct, this becomes a cult. We're not a cult. We're a word-based, Bible-believing, preaching ministry of Almighty God Himself. So for you to want to change, you have to change willingly your conduct. Well, how do you change your conduct? What do you change it to? Change your former conduct. The old man which grows corrupt. How many here have looked, if you look back last year, how many of you have seen your old man rise up a few times? Your old person. Come on, let's just look at the hands. Look at those waves. Everybody, we all saw the old man come out, man, and I don't like it. According to the deceitful lusts. And verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's the beginnings. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. So if you want to change, it starts in your spirit, inside of you, not on the outside. You know, it's just like trying to take, if you wanted to sell a house, If you've ever done it, if you ever sell a house and you get the inspector to come out and he goes through everything, he's got his checklist, checks everything off, and he comes to you and says, Mr. and Mrs. Mansu, everything is just fine except that you've got an issue with your structure. It's got a bad structure and it needs to be addressed. That is a mark on the building that we've got. So what do we do? Two things, three things. Don't do anything. The next thing we could do is a cheaper way out, is if it was, say we had a concrete thing that had to be done, we just sort of like get some plaster and cover the crack over and make it look nice and maybe paint it so they can't see that there's been some work on it, but just patched up. Leave it for the next guy. Or we take care of it the right way. Isn't this cool? I think it's good. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Is there a verse 24 that we've got? And that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. We don't know how to use that new man. We have to learn how to use that new man. And we're given the truth of how to use it by the guidance and through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, listening but doing the Word of God. Let's take a look at another verse of Scripture in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 9. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Oh, Sister So-and-so, it's so precious to see you today. Or, oh, Brother Pastor Chuck, it's so wonderful to see you today. I wish you could just fall dead. I wish you'd just get out of my sight. That's inside them. But how wonderful you are. Come on. Have we ever Have you ever done that, or have you ever had that you knew that somebody was thinking that way about you? Hope the ground just opens up and swallows you. How nice to see you today. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Do we have another verse of scripture there? Yeah, that's it. How's that? Let's take a look at another verse of scripture very quickly. Philippians chapter 3 and verses 13 through 14. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended or arrived yet, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reacting or reaching, I like the word better, reacting, and reaching and reacting forward to those things which are ahead. Verse 14. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You know, God has not called us just to get high on Him. What I mean by that is God hasn't just called us to get high on His Word, if that does happen, in the sense of getting high. Because when you get high on the Word, you're always going to come back down again. It's like, you know, I've never been on drugs, but that happens to druggies. They take drugs, they get high, and they got to come back down. Not good. Always trying to reach a high. What God wants to do is to cause us to be lifted high, taken high to a place that we've never assumed that we would be able to reach, or a place or things to do that we never thought we'd be able to accomplish. And that's where God says, that's where God wants to take us. Not just to get on a high. Let's take a look at Romans 12 and verses 1 and 2. And we'll be quitting in a couple of minutes. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Conformed. Maybe last year you had areas in your life that you were being drawn into conforming like the world. God says, don't be like that. Be transformed from the world. The only way you can do that is to be transformed in the renewing of your mind, your spirit, your mind. How is that done? Through listening to the Word of God. Where does the manifestation of the transformation come from? By applying the Word listened to and doing it. Praise God. So this year, I believe that God, you know, there are things that we are going to be accomplishing. And they're not here yet. They will be accomplished. But I believe that if there's anything this year to start off this year would be to get rid of the old stuff. You know, the wineskins, you know, that illustration of the wineskins. You don't put new wine in an old wineskin, otherwise it's going to burst. You don't put a new patch on an old garment. Why? Because it'll rip. It'll tear. Why? Because the old garment has had better days. But Jesus is basically saying, he says, I'm getting rid of you because you're at a use-by date. He's not saying that at all. But what he's wanting to do is by the grace and the mercy that he gives toward us is to cause you and I to become new. New creation. Not the old creation. You can't put the spiritual, the new spiritual things that God wants to do in your old body. In your old thinking, it's done. It's old. It's gone. It says, behold, all things have become new. So you're ready to take, in a sense, the newness of what God has. You don't have to worry about it being exploding and bursting in a waste. God is not a God who wants to waste, and He won't waste. But God has made provision for every single one of us to take on His likeness, the likeness of the mind of Christ, and even the things that we do within our bodies to be the temples of His Holy Spirit that we might show others the righteousness and the goodness of God for the things that we're receiving from Him. Amen. You want to start this new year? Start it with listening. Start it with doing. And that's for myself too. I always got three fingers pointing back to me when I'm pointing to you. Amen. Praise God. Have some fellowship at the end there. Coffee, tea, a couple biscuits. Have some fellowship together. And we do love and appreciate all of you. Thanks.